Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council audio podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and today we're going to devote the podcast to Justin Swanson, and we're going to talk Indiana legislative matters regarding the hemp industry here in Indiana. A lot of great information you'll want to stay on top of, and we're also going to talk about the 2023 Farm Bill and how that affects hemp growers, not only in Indiana, but all over the Midwest, and some of their progress as well. And we're going to do this again with Justin Swanson. Justin is the president of the Midwest Hemp Council. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm great, Jason. Closing in on the end of session, so always a good time here.
All right, fantastic. Well, let's talk about that session, the Indiana legislative session. What's going on that involves the Midwest Hemp Council and the concerns that we would have?
So we've been working all session trying to address some of the concerns we've heard from legislators and others in the industry. Specifically, you know, Indiana does not impose an age restrictions on popular low THC hemp extract products like Delta 8. And HHC and some other really popular products. And we also spent, as part of that efforts, really trying to re-legalize the sale of the retail sale of hemp flower, put age restrictions on that product, as well as some quality control standards that are verified by an independent lab.
Mm-hmm. And why do we need the age restriction?
Really just put it in line with other smoking products as 21 and up. And then the quality control standards are really testing for like pesticides, other really impurities in the product to make sure that since you are inhaling it, we want to make sure it's a clean product because there's a lot of bad stuff on the ground sometimes. We want to make sure it's a clean product for our consumers.
Right, right.
Probably one of the more frustrating aspects, particularly on the hemp flower piece, is, you know, it's been illegal in the state since 2019, but it is being sold everywhere around the state with no age restrictions and, again, no quality control standards.
So there's just no enforcement on it?
That's right. So, you know, the small business owners who are unwilling to break the law as written are losing market share every day to folks who are willing to break the law. And, you know, in order to have a successful market here in the state and across the country, we've got to make sure that people in the market are here for the long term and doing it the right way.
But who would be in charge of enforcing this this ban that is currently in place?
Well, really, it just come down to probably the state police at the end of the day. But I've had many conversations with local county prosecutors and local detectives. So there's a big concern on it, and I'm not really sure how to handle it because it really is on its face an unenforceable law. You know, when you other states around us allow for this market to thrive and the interference of the interstate transportation of these products, it's, you know, people can get online and have it delivered directly to their mailbox. Our goal is to make sure that we have a safe product. That, again, we are, you know, we're an ag state and a logistics state. We should be exporting these crops rather than importing them into the state.
Gotcha.
So where we are in this session right now, we have to be done April 29th. We're getting our state revenue forecast today. The state budget committee is. That's really going to solidify final negotiations between the House and the Senate in terms of prioritizing the state spending. So we're definitely winding down here. We were able to get our language, our hemp language, into Senate Bill 20 on the second half of session. It passed out of the House, I think 79-19, I believe, off the top of my head. And now the bill's in what's called conference committee. So conference committee is what happens when a Senate bill passes out of the Senate, and then it goes over to the House chamber, and that chamber changes the bill, deletes things or adds new language to it. Then after that passes, it goes back to the Senate author, and that author has a choice to either consent to the changes or dissent to them. Senate Bill 20 was dissented on. We just had our conference committee this morning, actually, and our hemp language was removed from the bill. It was no surprise to us. We really just wanted some live language for the end of session. And so now we're working very hard for the next week and a half trying to find a home for that language to make sure we get it across the finish line this year.
And how does that work? How do you find a home? And you know, again, obviously you guys are in there pushing this. Who are you pushing and who's helping it go through? And how do you find that home? Just kind of get into the, you know, how the sausage is made here.
Yeah, it's really just about one, like the number one thing you need to have is what's called germaneness. So it needs to be relevant to the underlying bill. Mm-hmm. So the reason our language was taken out of the bill is because, you know, hemp and alcohol aren't related, different sections of code. So it's more about finding kind of a bill that fits kind of your, like your title, like where you are in statute, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then it's going and having, you know, conversation after conversation and trying to educate folks on why this is an immediate need, mm-hmm. This session. One thing I'm very concerned about is we have this Attorney General opinion that was released back in January that is causing a lot of issues here in our state.
Mm-hmm.
In particular with banks. Banks have caught wind of this and are sending notices to small business owners that, you know, basically saying stop selling these products or go find a new bank.
Mm.
And it's a little frustrating because, you know, I think the Attorney General...
Is that the current Attorney General?
Yes. You know, I view it as a total overreach, and mm-hmm. it's kind of big government coming in on small businesses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're working to try to protect everybody from government overreach. To make sure we still have one banking access into a market before we get out of session here.
Right, right. How much of a problem is that currently going to, or if it stays in place the way it is, how much of a problem is that going to cause the folks that we're concerned about?
I have a genuine concern that we're going to, if we don't have a legislative solution here, we're going to see what happened back in 2017, which mm-hmm. is we had ATC going around raiding small business owners, citing them for selling marijuana when they're selling CBD products. And I'm genuinely concerned we might have a similar situation here if we don't get some sort of legislative solution in statute this session.
Mm-hmm. And is there anybody that you can talk about that is helping lead the charge in a positive direction?
Yeah, Senator Holdman in the Senate has been a great champion for us in the industry. He's taken the time to learn kind of the nuances of what's going on here and why it's such a big deal for us. So I give him a lot of props. We've been working with him all session. And if our listeners will recall, the Senate chamber has been an uphill battle, more so in the Senate chamber than the House, to educate folks on this industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I give him a lot of props for kind of sticking his neck out and, again, learning the issues, learning both sides and trying to find a solution that's going to be, you know, pro-business and pro-farmer at the end of the day.
Right. And as you work to try to, you know, push these items through and get the ear of these lawmakers, you know, we always hear about these large bills and that there's no way that most of these lawmakers are reading them. A lot of them are not attorneys. Now, some of them are. Some of them are probably very diligent about it. But are you finding that you have to explain a lot of this because they're not reading the bills or, you know, is that just part of the job?
It's just part of the job, and, you know, I'd encourage, because we're going to be sending out some alerts here to our members to get them to re-engage here on the Senate side.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about making sure, understanding going into the conversation that, you know, a lot of the legislators have no exposure to the hemp industry or the hemp market here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've always tried to preach is position yourself as a resource for the legislator. So if they do have questions, they reach out to them directly to get a clear answer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, this is, you know, the legislative process is all about educating lawmakers on the issue. And, you know, if you're doing a really good job, you're kind of explaining the other side and then you're, you know, kind of ending the conversation of why, you know, your position is the right position and the right public policy for the state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. And so, Justin, before we move on to the 2023 Farm Bill that, you know, involving Kentucky and Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, some things there we want to talk about. Anything else that we want to discuss here about the Indiana legislature before we move on to that?
No, just be on the lookout for in your inbox. We'll be sending around some talking points that we'd love for our listeners from Indiana to engage, in particular their senators,
mm-hmm.
and really ask them to find a solution here. WTHER ran an article 2 weeks ago, I believe, that demonstrated the number of poison control calls for kids 6 and under in Indiana has tripled since 2022 for accidental ingestion of low THC products.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is the issues we're trying to solve to make sure that, you know, we have a long-term industry here in the state.
Right, right. And people can get more information at the Midwest Hemp Council website, I assume?
That's right.
Excellent, excellent. All right, now let's move on to that 2023 Farm Bill, talking about some of the other states around, well, Indiana and some of the other states around Indiana. How is that affecting us, and what's new in there?
Yeah, so before I talk specifically about our efforts on the 23 Farm Bill, wanted to highlight a couple states that had some successes here on low THC hemp extracts.
Okay,
Kentucky passed a law that's going to regulate products like Delta-8 THC and other minor cannabinoids in the market. Alabama's did something similar. Tennessee's more than likely, I think it just passed the House, will likely pass the Senate in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll become law as well. So we've had three really good states that, you know, kind of look like Indiana in terms of political makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So that's encouraging to see. And then Florida, they just won a battle that there's an effort to cap the THC products, the THC concentration in hemp products, which mm-hmm. is a roundabout way of destroying the market as is. Mm-hmm. They had a big win by taking all that language out. So we've got some really good momentum on a state-by-state level, and we're hoping that some of these successes will bubble up into the 23 Farm Bill.
Mm-hmm.
There is an effort to change the definition of hemp to like a 1% total THC standard. And a lot of it's being billed as helpful to the farmers. But what's not being really talked about is the fact that that definition is what has built the consumer-facing side of the industry the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you were to change that definition to 1% total THC, it's going to essentially eliminate the hemp side of it and hand it over to big marijuana.
Right, because again, 1%, of course, right now we're at 0.3, so 1% is a pretty substantial increase.
Well, it's not really more about the number. It's about right now the only measurement for compliance purposes that matters is that Delta-9 THC concentration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's an effort to include all of the THCs, so Delta-8, Delta-10, the isomers of THC
mm-hmm.
included in that calculation, and that would detrimentally impact, again, the consumer facing side of the industry.
And again, the goal is to separate hemp from marijuana and not just separate it legally, but in the minds of the consumer as well.
That's right, because I really think that the future of the cannabis industry is these well-formulated products that have, well-balanced formulations of minor cannabinoids. I think you're always going to have, I think a small subset of the population looking for the highest THC concentration in products. But I think for the vast majority of the population looking for relief, they're not looking to, get couch locked. They're looking for functional relief where they can go about their day
mm-hmm.
without feeling pain.
Right.
So Midwest Hemp Council has been working with associations all over the country on developing a kind of a consensus document that we can all agree on.
Mm-hmm.
That should get released, I would say, probably tomorrow morning. And as part of that is we kind of all agreed that we need to keep that definition the same for consumer-facing products.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good win, and it's really good for members of Congress and the Hill to see that the hemp industry is coalescing and around each other and coming up with some uniform asks for the 23 Farm Bill.
Excellent, excellent. And continue on with that about the 2023 Farm Bill.
So the current authority, the 2018 Farm Bill, is going to expire end of September of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the deadline. We're kind of hearing that unlikely to meet that deadline. So what will happen is they'll pass what's called a continuing resolution, a CR, and basically keep the status quo until they can come to a broader agreement on all the other provisions of the bill.
Oh, okay.
Because Jason, keep in mind this, hemp's a kind of a lower priority for members sure. of Congress because there's so much in this bill in so many interests.
Mm.
But we do feel like, we've been on the Hill a couple times this year. We'll be going out again next month to have direct conversations to make sure, Congress understands the nuances of the industry and that, if we change the definition of hemp, it really needs to be done on a scientific basis, not an arbitrary number.
Understandable. There we go. Anything else we need to get into, Justin?
No, I would just encourage, again, our members, Indiana's legislative session ends April 29th, so we got about a week and a half left. and really encourage folks to reach out to, in particular, the senators and ask them to really protect consumers and allow small businesses to continue to grow here in the hemp market. Mm-hmm. And again, we'll be sending out some talking points, some language to help help encourage and facilitate those discussions.
Excellent. All right, Justin, as always, we certainly do appreciate your input, and we learned some things today, and that's always the goal.
Yes, it is. I appreciate you hosting, Jason.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Audio Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks so much to Justin Swanson, Midwest Hemp Council President, for giving us the information we have today. And that's going to do it for this one. We'll see you next time. Until then, have a great one. So long, everybody.